Good morning. Welcome to Christ Lutheran Church. Glad to have you all here this morning, ready to worship our Lord and Savior, our God, our Father, and Holy Spirit, aren't you? All right. Ooh, that was good. That was resounding. Remember, it's helpful if you take your liturgy apart from all the inserts so that your liturgy is easier to use as you turn through it. And the gospel is now up on the screen, so if you don't want to use the inserts other than knowing what we're doing and collecting around here, you're in good shape. And thank you for doing all those things and for reading the screens about announcements as well as perusing the bulletin. I want to start with Christian sympathy today because we've had a shock loss to our congregation. If you turn in your insert section, you will find the Christian sympathy in the church info and events, and it is on page 3, and it'll look like this at the bottom, okay? Unfortunately, Carolyn Hunt suddenly and unexpectedly died. She just returned from Michigan. She had been visiting family for a little over a month, and no one could reach her by phone, being family or neighbors, and eventually, a wellness check was done, I believe, by the Marion County Sheriff, and they found her dead in her home. A son and daughter are here now. We will be celebrating her life, I believe, at a later point. We'll let you know. They are in the shock stage of trying to get through paperwork and the house, okay? So we'll be reaching out, but you can send cards to the house. The address is here. Also, a year ago in July, Pastor Richard Patenas died. He died of coronavirus, and his celebration of life has now been scheduled. If you'd like to read this obituary, there are several copies out on the table in the fellowship hall. If you're available to go, his celebration of life is at the church he was serving until he died. It is Faith Lutheran Church in Lakeland, Florida, not far from here. It is at 4:00 in the afternoon because they're having a dinner afterwards. If you'd like to stay for the dinner, please RSVP the church so they have a head count. You can also send cards there. We did that earlier to his wife, Joan. The address for the church is there. I talked to Joan this week. With our capital campaign being so successful, we are doing something else with our giving towards in honor and memory of folks like Carolyn and Pastor Richard. This is a letter in there from Ray, our financial secretary. You can still give to the capital campaign, but we also started a new program, like for Carolyn, if you'd like to give. You can give straight to the mortgage because the mortgage is a little over $5,000 a month. I think you're glad to be sitting in the building. And so that's one of the things we're going to do to help the general fund going forward. Parking lot update. The scheduled date is moved back until sometime the 1st of August. We're hoping to start this month. The reason being, they're having trouble getting supplies. Imagine that. It's the same reason we have the hold up on the altar and the offering plate tables. We had a little bit of a hold up on the kneelers that are still being made. They had trouble getting foam. Be glad you can get what you can get. But be very glad the Holy Spirit guided us to build during the pandemic. For all I know, the cost of this sanctuary could be 40% more. I don't know what it would be. So, but anyway, we're good news there. I have an update on the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts, who we had invited to be here if they so moved, as they were not meeting at Hope Lake Weir anymore. They never were able to find leadership, and all their equipment has been distributed to other troops, so they will not be reforming without starting from scratch. I read in the newsletter from Hope Lake Weir that Phyllis Dill, who was in charge of the distribution, she used to run the Cub Scouts, she can't do it anymore due to health, made sure that all of the things at least got to other local area troops. So that's the good news. But if the Holy Spirit wants it, it'll come. But remember, the Boys and Girls Club might fill the need. Wow, there you go. I have a meeting, I believe, August 25th with Trudy, and the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club was coming here. She's interested. Woo! And now I'll be able to tell her, Trudy, and if you talk to April, that we now know there's no Cub Scout or Boy Scout troop locally, so that wouldn't be competing with anything they would do if they decide to do something here. Next Sunday, the Bloodmobile will be here, and they'll be here at 8 o'clock. So some of you from this service can give. You can come early so you don't miss worship. I know you don't want... Yes, you tell me this. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Worship, but I was on the bus. That reminds me of the excuses I tried to give my parents about not going to church when I was a kid. Anyway, they will be here from 8 to 12:30. And guess what? For those of you who can give blood to the count, they must be having trouble with supply, too. Now we get a $20 gift card for giving blood, up from 10 last month. So I have an update on the Nazi flags that are flying just off of County Road 42. There is not only one flag, there are three. Okay. I am still in fact-finding stage about what can be done. I have called Orange Blossom Hills Community Center. That is where the house is. They do not have a housing association with rules that prohibit that. That's the same where I live. But I want to bring to your attention that Marva, who was and still is the president, who was so gracious for us and all the things she did when we were at Orange Blossom Hills Community Center worshiping, she's Jewish. If that doesn't make you want to fight to get these down, I don't know what will. Without the graciousness of her, who also came for us with Thanksgiving, but there's nothing legally from that. I've talked to the sheriff at Marion County over here at the substation. Deputy's very nice. He said you can't protest on the street. That's illegal, but you can't be on the side. Do not, he said, which I have no intention of doing, I go up to the householder, but I know what we can do from them if we decide to do something in a protest. I told him I would let him know ahead of time. I spoke to my attorney, which is the church attorney, Mark Lorzel, and he got me connected with the Anti-Defamation League. They are very helpful. I sent them pictures of the flags, same thing, constitutional, First Amendment right, but now the household is on their radar screen, which is what I'm doing. Are you noticing this? Okay. I've also talked to Perspectives Counseling Center, which is right where the flags are. If you leave here on 42 and go east, you'll see that business. They have not had any problems, but he said to me, you know, we have black people who come here for counseling. We have people, other people of color, and we have Jewish people who come here. I said, well, then it seems to me it would be in your best interest if I can figure out a way to persuade this individual or individuals to take it down. So can you see we're collecting a coalition? All right. I'll keep you posted. So I'm not on a crusade. I said to Kathy and Mary, who were helping out through their Bible study, if God wants it down, them, I should say, they'll come down. But God's looking for us to get the job done. And we'll leave it in God's very capable hands, right? Right? All right. That's the update. Some other sad news, but it's good news at the same time. Sandy Wickard is moving to Texas. And most of you know that. Kim's here this morning, her daughter. Good morning, Kim. And you are moving out this week. Is that correct? Moving trucks come Thursday. So this is Sandy's last Sunday with us, okay? So she'll have to come back and visit, yes, but you can watch us online. So we're going to sing We Will Miss You, Sandy, to the Happy Birthday song on three. One, two, three. We will miss you, Sandy, but you're getting closer to Kim. We will miss you, Sandy, but you're getting closer to Kim and her husband and your grandson. We will miss you, dear Sandy. Thank you for all you've ever done. We will miss you, Sandy. Give her a big hand. Safe journey. Safe journey, Kim. And your puppy will pray. Pray that her puppy doesn't dock. It's not a puppy. Bark too much in her independent living apartment. We're working on it. Pepper, correct? All right. We're going to take a quiet minute to pair hearts and minds for worship. We continue worship together on page 2 of your worship folder with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We come together in confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our God of manna, our God of miracles, our God of mercy. Amen. Drawn by the Holy Spirit's power to Jesus Christ's salvation and seeking God as Father's abundance, let us confess our sin. Holy Trinity, our provider, at times we do not share your abundance that you grant us. At times we question your ways when they differ from the ways of your world in which we live. At times we fail to accept your ways as righteous. At times we turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in your wisdom. At times we ignore your commandments and teachings in favor of our own ways. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to turn us back to you, your ways and your wisdom. Continue to share with us your holy words of salvation and eternal life, and send us to care for the life of your entire creation, world, and people. Amen. Beloved people of the Holy Trinity, through Jesus Christ, our holy manna from heaven, we are fed and nourished. Through Jesus Christ, our worker of holy miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus Christ, our bread of life, we are granted his salvation and eternal life. And by the Holy Spirit's power, we are sent to be Jesus' manna, miracles, and bread of life for all of God his Father's creation, world, and people. Amen. We continue on page 3 with the prayer of the day, and we pray it together. Let us pray. God, our Father of all holy covenants, by the Holy Spirit's power, in our holy baptisms into your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, as the body of Christ, you call and send us to proclaim your kingdom, granted in Jesus in all of our actions, words, and deeds. Continue to grant us your wisdom and courage that you granted to Jesus' apostles, so that we all faithfully witness to Jesus' freedom, justice, love, and peace in every circumstance of life. In the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we pray the prayer for the world together, we continue to keep the Surfside, Florida condominium collapse victims and first responders in our prayers. Of course, the victims of Hurricane/Tropical Storms Claudette and Elsa. And, of course, the assassination of the Haitian president and his family, all the Haitian people who are still battling with all the violence. You will find in your bulletin that all that information is still in there in one of the inserts if you'd like to send money to Salvation Army or food for the poor. But it reminds us to pray for all of them as well. Let us pray. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war or warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Our scripture hymn today is Our Father, We Have Wandered, 606 in the hymnal. Our gospel lector today is Ann Trenery. Everybody say good morning, Ann. You'll find the gospel, if you like to read it out of the bulletin, inside the lessons and financials insert. It's on page 2, or, of course, we've got them up there on the monitors.
the gospel today. The gospel is from St. Mark, chapter 6, verse 30 through 34, 53 through 56. When Jesus sends his disciples out to teach and heal by the Holy Spirit's power, they minister among large numbers of people. Their work is modified by Jesus' desire to bring healing and wholeness to all God, his Father's people in need. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had just done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourself and rest a while." For many people were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them and hurried to where they were going on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of him. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had great compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, the apostles came to land at the Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace, and the sick begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And they who touched him were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Give Anna a big amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Grace Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here in this Sabbath Sunday morning to worship you at 9 o'clock, along with our brothers and sisters online, as well as those who will be worshiping with us at 10:30, and all our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are worshiping various days. We're grateful to be gathered and healthy enough to be here today. We're grateful to know that this is the cleansing righteousness of your Son that we always receive to begin our week together. And then we're sent out into Jesus' missions and ministry fields, sometimes very challenging places like confronting Nazi flag and hate, sometimes easier things as in our Christian fellowship and our interaction with everyone. People wonder what we're up to and why we're happy and why we're serving. That's great good news. Thank you for the calling. But most importantly, thank you, Father God, for sending your Son to save us and never condemn us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit instilling that faith. And thank you, Holy Trinity, for continuing to remind us always, whether we die suddenly, unfortunately, like Carolyn Hunt, or whether we live a long life or very few years, we are still created in your image and you claim us in your Son. And that's great good news. For every day we have breath, may we always get up and say, thank you, Lord, for this day. We're grateful for it. May we continue to serve you in it. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you today. We're going to be closing out our gospel study of chapter 6 of St. Mark's gospel. We've had 3 consecutive Sundays in this gospel. We're going to be switching away from it to St. John's Gospel, and I'm going to tell you why a little later in preaching. That's called a nugget of interest. And if you were interested, good. If you're a fan of that gospel, we're going to spend 5 consecutive Sundays in St. John's Gospel. Ooh, all in chapter 6. Ooh, there you go. You can read ahead and try and figure out why we're going to study that whole chapter, which is one of the great things about the lectionary. Okay, we're going to dive right in and learn what St. John says Jesus is up to. But today I want to recap chapter 6 just briefly about what Jesus has been up to in this chapter 6 according to St. Mark. It's important for what happens today, which is what's going to happen in St. John's Gospel starting next Sunday. Intrigue building. If you recall at the beginning, 2 weeks ago, Jesus went to the town that he grew up, Nazareth. And at first he was received with great joy. In fact, with great respect, they let him come into the synagogue and teach. And they were all astounded, St. Mark says, about his deeds of power, his knowledge, and that he teaches with authority. But you remember quickly that turned In the synagogue, someone said, well, wait a minute, isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know his mother, Mary, and his brothers and sisters? Who does he think he is basically what they said. And they started to reject him in spite of knowing everything. Instead of Jesus lashing out at them, his disciples, who we hear today have returned, are given a commission right in the middle of all that hostility. I send you out, you 12 apostles. He has a large gathering of disciples, but now he tells only his apostles, the inner circle, to go out. And I give you the Holy Spirit's power. And they do. And they left. Only today do you hear about them returning. Jesus is there by himself with whoever else is still listening to him as he leaves Nazareth. And last Sunday, the graphically horrible murder of St. John the Baptist, recorded in great detail, is brought to us by St. Mark, and only in that level of detail. It's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to Jesus. You know, the introduction last Sunday said, St. John the Baptist is martyred, and it's brought to Jesus' attention. Don't ever hang your hat on the word martyr. He was brutally murdered for being faithful to God his Father. Sometimes work on behalf of Jesus is troubling and challenging. It might cost you your life. It might cause me to argue with someone who's flying Nazi flags. It's the gospel. And it's not always easy, because this is the battle of good and evil. After Jesus learns this horrific news, only then do we hear about the 12 apostles coming back. So why, question number one should be your intrigue, are there missing verses today? Did you notice? It was listed in your bulletin. It was listed on the screen. Verses 35 through 52 are missing today. Intrigue number one, you're only going to get one more. Why are they missing? Oh, we might speculate. Well, maybe they're not that important to the story. Never say that about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ does is important. It's never minuscule. It is always profound. So you should be intrigued. You should be dancing going, oh my gosh, what did I miss? Don't you hate it when you miss an episode of your favorite show? If I miss a Florida State football game, I am distraught. Why don't we treat the gospel the same way? The gospel of our salvation. Well, let's see if these stories are important or not. Intrigued? There's two stories that are omitted on purpose. The first one is recorded in all four Gospels, almost in an identical manner. That should tell us theologically that it is an incredibly powerful and important story. Oh, the intrigue is building, isn't it? It doesn't always happen that all four Gospels have the same story. And it's rare to happen that they're almost recorded word for word. Ooh, are you excited? And you all know what this first story is. Jesus feeds the 5,000, which was 5,000 estimated men. So there were probably 12 to 15,000 people, including the women and children. With what? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wow. Are you intrigued? Why would they leave that out? Anybody getting their juices going? You're not sleeping yet, are you? Why aren't we covering that today? What else happened, Pastor Dave? Well, this story is recorded in all three Gospels, with the exclusion of St. Luke. So it's still got to be profoundly important. And it is also recorded almost exactly the same way in those three Gospels. After the feeding and the disciples who failed to realize that Jesus had the ability to do it, he sends them away and he goes off to pray. And guess where they are again, which we heard several weeks ago from St. Mark's Gospel. They're in a boat and they're on the Sea of Galilee. And guess what happens? A storm comes up And Jesus isn't there, asleep in the stern this time. And they're petrified. And guess who comes walking on the water? You know, Charlie Daniels sings that fun song. Jesus walked on the water, and I know that it's true. But sometimes I think that preacher man, he wants to do a little walking too. Ever hear that song? I make no claim at walking on water unless there's something under it with my feet. And Jesus calms the storm, and they get to the other side of the lake. Why is it omitted? This is one of the strengths of the lectionary. We are going to study both of those stories by St. John's account. And there's another theological teaching that only comes in his gospel, which is incredibly important for all of us because we know it and we believe it and we celebrate it here. Jesus teaches only according to this gospel. I am the bread of life. So aren't you glad that we omitted those theologically and we'll pick them up? Because Jesus, we will learn, is watching what the crowds are doing who are flocking to him, and he challenges them. You come for the earthly loaves. What about the heavenly, which is more important? I am the bread of life. Partake of my precious body and precious blood, which we do every Sunday. Aren't you glad? All right, but that's intrigue number one. Are you ready for intrigue number two? Okay. Well, let's look at this. Because I'm always excited about what people are doing on behalf of Jesus. And what did we hear? The apostles came back and told Jesus everything that they had done and said. Don't you want more information? Just me. Don't you want more information? Well, what the heck were they doing? Jesus, when he sent them out, when he was rejected in his growing up town of Nazareth, said this to them. Go, take nothing with you. So the apostles went out and preached that people should turn away from their sins. They drove out many demons and rubbed oil on many sick people and they healed them. Well, wait a minute. Where is the stories about the demons that they drove out? Where are the stories about the sick people they healed? Guess why? I believe we don't get them. Are you intrigued? Because they still don't get it. Because on the lake, in the boat, if they already cast out demons and they healed people who were sick, they needed to say to the wind and the waves, by the power of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, cease. And they failed. And they also failed to believe he could feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what's St. Mark doing? Pointing us to Christ, always. I love that about his gospel. It isn't about us, ever. We're blessed to be invited into this grand journey of the gospel, which is sometimes troubling, sometimes difficult, but always on behalf of the gospel, great good news. Christ is the actor, and he's invited us into this grand gospel of salvation and said, I give you the power. Now go in my holy name, and if it is my will, it will get done. This building is proof perfect, is it not? From the minds of some of us, with words like welcoming, functional, expandable, ta-da, ta-da. So, if it's not about the disciples, and it's about Jesus, ask yourself this theological question. Why doesn't Jesus interact with them about what they have done? He already knows. He doesn't have to ask them. He knows what I'm doing. He knows what you're doing. Now, I could preach and get up there and bang on that pulpit. You better watch out. You better not cry. Jesus Christ is coming to town. And you can hear that in preaching. That's not who Jesus is. To me, that's bad theology. Yeah, he has right to judge us, and he does judge us for our sin. But he says, my child, I'm your shepherd. I welcome you into the kingdom of my Father. And I give you the gifts of the Spirit to go out there and make this kingdom a better place until I return. bring things all back to the way they were before the fall of Adam and Eve. So Jesus keeps an accountability. It's not works. It is simply the outpouring of the Spirit. What would he think today about Christ Lutheran Church? If he showed up here, of course, he's here with us in spirit. I think he'd stop right back there and marvel. And maybe he'd look at us and say, when I was a child and I was without clothing and food and school supplies, you supplied them. You didn't have to tell me. I knew. And I've seen you do it for decades, even while you were on your journey from one church to a bingo hall to this church, which is my church. This is incredible good news. Aren't you glad he's watching? Don't you think he gets excited about this stuff? Father, look, they're taking care of our children at Lake Weir Middle School. Oh, Father, see the backpack program starting back up in August so our kids have food on the weekend. They don't look at poverty and do nothing. They stand up and say, we're bigger than that. And the devil can't stand it. But sometimes Jesus sends us letters. Aren't you glad when I read your letters? Are you sure? Jesus is watching everywhere. One of the things I believe he looks at, it says, are you ecumenical? Absolutely, in this congregation. We're not divided into denominational differences of theology or anything else. We're grounded in Christ, crucified and risen and sent to serve the gospel good news. I have my own bin, as I've told you, at St. Teresa's Roman Catholic Church. Probably the first Lutheran minister ever. They all know when I get there, they go get the pet food that they don't distribute. They go get all the medical supplies and they give me tons, boxes upon boxes of fun things for the domestic violence center that they wouldn't buy, like fresh bread from Publix, like wonderful ding-dongs and Oreos that they're not going to buy, but they want those kids to know it's still okay to be a kid. Isn't that incredible good news? Isn't that really fighting against in the face of violence? This is from Marianne. St. Teresa's ministry to the poor, the soup kitchen, food pantry, has shown remarkable resilience for our guests during the continuing struggles of COVID-19. How does that happen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, because the gospel will not be quelled even by disease. As a result of our faith, oh, I love her. As a result of our faith and strength received from God, the actor, she gets it. For fiscal year July 1, 2020 through June 30, 2021, we were able to provide lunch through our 24/7 soup kitchen for 59,106 guests, and they never closed. And how blessed are we in this church that during the pandemic, we never closed. We expanded. And we never told St. Teresa's, we're building a church, we can't bring you food. And now they're giving things to me, the Lutheran crazy pastor that takes up to Ocala. Additionally, through our efforts in our food pantry, we provide groceries to 39,355 family members. Our total family members served for fiscal year 2020-2021 through the soup kitchen food pantry was 98,461 guests. This is an increase of 30,680 guests from fiscal year 2019-2020. The total expense to provide these gifts of nourishment, including all paper products, was $95,795. This amount equals out to a cost of 98 cents per guest. Oh, my heavens. The fishes and the loaves that we're going to hear about from St. John's Gospel continue to abound, don't they? That during a pandemic, when people were out of work, people stepped up to the plate, and a lot of them are Christians, and a lot of them knew St. Teresa's was there. And aren't you glad that you're there? And we don't have to tell Jesus that. He already knows it. And because we serve for Him as He first served us, continue to progress because He will get it done for people and churches who are out there battling good and evil, knowing that evil has no power over us. I preach that all the time, whether it's the evil of poverty, the evil of hunger. The devil is saying, oh, God doesn't care about those people. And we say, yes, and God's using us because we have more power than you to feed, to heal, to cast out demons. If necessary, God would give us the power, and it should make you pace around and hold your glasses and talk with your hands and share the story. We're not patting ourselves on the back. We're saying, join us in the gospel to get the job done, because He might call us home in an instant, like Carolyn Hunt. But God knows her story, too. I want to tell you a little bit about her resume in this congregation. And Jesus knows all of this. Just a few things Carolyn Hunt did. Never once lifting herself up. Never once. She served on council and the executive committee as council secretary. Alan, you probably wish you would come back. She started the capital funding team, knowing we needed to get small, the dollar program, medium and large scale things to build the Lord's church. She got Tom Taylor to co-chair it with us, and a bunch of us, including Sandy. She did the Messenger newsletter for years. Judy, don't you wish she would come back? She's one of the backups for Michelle in the office so that the bulletins get done. Because Patty Judd goes away for 5 months. She took all the pictures and was instrumental in this church's first pictorial. She was a shepherd, which I just found out this morning. And all the while, she did those things, which are only some of the things I'm sure that she did for Jesus in this congregation. 24/7, she took care of her husband, Rod, who had 3 to 5 of the most extremely rare diseases I've ever seen in my life. Until he died, she cared for him. But she believed God would allow her to do all this other stuff. Oh, my heavens. You want a role model? How about Carolyn Hunt? Give her an amen.
Amen.
I guarantee she's standing at the pearly gates right now saying, Connell, I am going to bop you in the nose because I wanted no talking about all of this stuff. But I know how to duck. So how about this saint over here? Do you ever ask yourself about her resume? She doesn't have to tell Jesus. Jesus knows. I want you to listen how similar this is to Carolyn's. We don't want you to not be here. Sandy has served on the council of this church for years with Joan Knight. She co-chaired our nurture team. Aren't you glad that you get cards and prayers? And someone says happy birthday and happy anniversary. She did children's sermons for years, and she's also taking care of our youth here. She's been a member of Fellowship K. Don't you wish she was staying here? She did new member orientation until we had to stop doing it during the pandemic, and we're trying to restart that through Joan Knight. She took care of her husband, Virgil, including having to institutionalize him for Alzheimer's disease until he died. Doesn't she sound very similar to Carolyn Hunt? Now, here's the challenge for you, because I'm your pastor. I have to make this place function without Carolyn Hunt and Sandy. Guess who's getting tapped on the shoulder? You can laugh all you want. It's the next man up, the next woman up. But I mean that sincerely. you're sitting in the fruits of the Spirit. For the fruits of the Spirit to be available for those who come after us, we all engage and listen to the Holy Spirit and never say no. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me. And I don't have to tell you what I'm doing because you already know it all. Pastor Patenis co-chaired the Nurture Committee in this. Great cook, if you remember him. They used to run a bed and breakfast. He died, unfortunately, from the coronavirus. He was visiting his wife, who was sick in the hospital, and she didn't have it. That's where they believe he got it, and he died rapidly from it within a week from exposure. Celebrating his life. Did you know, for those of you who remember him, that he felt called by the Holy Spirit while we were at St. John Lutheran Church to go to seminary? He gave up everything, and he went to my seminary in South Carolina to become a pastor. Did you know that he was instrumental in the Rock of Ages Lutheran Church being formed and running, which is still there? Right, Sandy? Right, Joe? And now has a building after 10 years? I want to read you what God already knows about him through his son. Reverend Richard Patenis, October 1, 1954, July 22 to 20. A native of Massachusetts, and it lists some of the things about his family. Pastor Patenis was blessed with a diverse career path prior to entering into full-time ministry. He has worked as a classroom teacher, a school district administrator, a real estate developer, and owned several small businesses. Pastor Patenis received his undergraduate degree from Franklin Pierce University and attended Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. Prior to accepting the call to become pastor of Faith Lutheran Church of Lakeland, Florida, he served as a mission developer for Holy Cross Lutheran Church at the Villages, Florida. And he's also instrumental for Rock of Ages Lutheran Church. Pastor Patenis served as a hospice chaplain and a staff member of Cornerstone Hospice and Palliative Care. He continued his ministry as a clergy that serves at Lakeland Regional Medical Center. Reverend Richard Patenis became pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in March 2012 and continued until his passing on July 22, 2020. That's one hell of a resume for God, isn't it? And he's another one, never touted himself. Joan told me when he ended up in the ER, the last words that he said to her before they put him on a ventilator is, "The Lord's will be done." And Jesus heard him. And Jesus said, "Pastor Richard, come home." And guess who probably hugged Carolyn Hunt? Richard Patenis. They have this saying on the wall at the church for him. "You came into our lives for a little while. You left footprints on our hearts. We will never be the same." What a great tribute that somebody thinks that about you after you're dead. Isn't that a great tribute? Because everybody knows how much he did for the Lord. I had no idea he worked for hospice. I had no idea he was a chaplain at the hospital. On top of being a full-time pastor. Wow, I may have to do some more volunteering. I can't stand in his shadow. Nor would I try. But I'll tell you this. He and I talked all the time. And he learned a ton about how to do ministry from this congregation. And he carried it with him to two startup churches and in his final call. Isn't that a great gift you gave to all those people through Pastor Richard Patenis? Amen. Amen. And hallelujah. But watch for it. Do any of you have a medical doctor out there? You want to raise your hands? Do any of you have more than one medical doctor out there? You've only got one. You're probably the only one. I have at least five. I got some news. I've sent many of you to Dr. Patrick Williams, cardiologist, a medical minister. Recently, Dorothy Moen went to see him. And I believe what you told me is, I never had a doctor spend that much time with me. Bob Sotera's had stents from him. So is Dale. Dale was really sick when he was in the hospital in the Villages. Guess who saved his life? Dr. Patrick Williams was 49 years old and dropped dead. His celebration of life was yesterday. I want to read his obit. Because Jesus already knew he was doing all these things. And unfortunately called him home with a wife and two young children. Dr. Patrick Kevin Williams, 49, of Oxford, Florida, went to be with the Lord on Thursday, July 8th, 2021. Kevin was born August 16th in Dothan, Alabama, 1971, to Lee Patrick and Martha Pennington Williams. Both his parents and his in-laws are both still alive and have to deal with this. Kevin could accomplish anything that he set his mind to, and listen to this. He graduated from Chipley High School in 1989. He went to Chipola College and graduated in 1991. He continued his education at Florida State University. Yes! In 1993. Kevin was accepted into medical school at the University of Florida. What? Where he graduated in 1997. After graduating from medical school, he did a three-year fellowship in internal medicine. When he completed his fellowship, he was appointed chief medical resident for a year. That doesn't just happen. Kevin then completed a three-year cardiology fellowship, followed by a one-year fellowship in interventional cardiology. After school, Kevin went into the Georgia Air National Guard for 5 years. During that time, he volunteered for two deployments in Iraq as a flight surgeon. He absolutely loved to fly. Kevin also practiced as a cardiologist working for Orlando Health in the Villages. He was a kind and loving husband to his wife, Taylor, as well as an amazing father to his children, Olivia and Emmett. I saw him 3 weeks ago this past Thursday for my annual follow-up. When I went to him, my heart rate wouldn't go down from 110 during the pandemic, which none of you knew, after four worship services, to a point where I couldn't give blood. I knew him, and I wouldn't go to anybody else because I know he's a Christian. He saw me within 3 days. He put me on a medication called Atenolol. He solved my problem, probably saved my life. And all the time we talked faith, and I saw him 3 weeks ago, the last Thursday, he said, let me talk to you about your cholesterol. He said, you know, you got the good cholesterol and the bad cholesterol, and he knows I know a lot about medicine. He said, but let me tell it to you like this. You have a lot of really good police officers floating around in your bloodstream, but you've also got some really bad robbers. And I know your numbers are good, but I want your LDL at 70 or less. My last blood draw was like 95. I want you to increase your cholesterol medicine by 5 milligrams. I just gave blood last Wednesday. My LDL is 69. When we left, we had been talking about his son, Emmett. He told me, he goes, I love it. Emmett is learning so much from his youth minister. Every week he makes my wife and me and my daughter come out and sit down, and he preaches. It's the same verse over and over again. I said, we have a budding preacher. And he said, that would be a great calling. I gave him a book, which is too much for his son, but I want him to read it, called What Shall I Say, which Pastor Patenis read, which I read, which decides discernment. He said to me at the end of our visit, I know you know a lot about medicine so that you can help your people. Have I ever helped any of you? And he said this to me. You know, Pastor Dave, every physician should know a lot about Christianity and share it with their patients. He wasn't patting himself on the back. When the Lord took him home, the Lord said, I've watched you do that, my child. We walked out of the room for my visit. And he said, I forgot to ask you one thing. Bless you. Otto Canis died in this congregation several years ago. He put in probably 20 stents in Otto trying to save his life. He gave Otto 3 more good years. He said to me, last thing, how's Nancy? That's Otto's wife. Do you know how she felt when I told her that 3 weeks ago that Sunday? Nancy, Dr. Williams wants to know if you're okay. These are the callings. You and I have the ability to be role models like Carolyn and Sandy, Pastor Richard and Dr. Patrick. Jesus isn't going to force us to do any of it. Jesus isn't looking at us and say, do works. Jesus is saying, I'm gifting you beyond your wildest imaginations to go out and be the living gospel. I am always with you, and I know exactly how with you to get the job done. If that doesn't get you fired up, nothing I ever preach will, because it's about him, never me. Thanks be to God. Amen. You'll find the Bread of Life Communion Liturgy on pages 3 and 4 of your worship folder. If you'd like to follow along this morning. By the way, as I get the table ready, one of the interesting things we're going to study about St. John's Gospel, one of the particular theologies that's profound, is that we, as you know, we are never told during what we call the Last Supper. St. John never records Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. Instead, he institutes servanthood by washing the disciples' feet, right? It's because in St. John's Gospel, he's already done it in chapter 6, if you want to read ahead. He says, I am the bread of life. You must drink my blood and eat my flesh. So St. John said, you've already read it because you know the gospel, right? Holy, mighty, merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory and great love. You sent to us Jesus, your son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, preach good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Come to the bread of life and cup of salvation banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen us and keep us in His grace and the power of the healing Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. Amen. I noticed Carol McCormick wearing the church logo necklace, and that was something else the Holy Spirit asked me to say about Carolyn Hunt. You see that right there? That is our church logo, which is, I believe, the most beautiful church logo I ever have seen in my life. Guess who came up with it? Carolyn Hunt, on behalf of the Capitol team and all of us. Isn't that a cool legacy?
Yes.
So I'm asking some of you, now that I remembered that, when we have her celebration of life, help me think of something that's important we can give to her family to remember that by.
Yes.
Like maybe we'll buy them necklaces,
yes.
Earrings. There's a guy we can maybe get a clip on. But that logo is everywhere, including on our new parishioner brochure. It's on the cover. So we're going to continue to pray the blessing together, and the blessing is on page 4 of your worship folder. Let us pray. Blessed be the Holy and the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. She lots of hugs. She is a hugger, right, Sandy? I'm sure Kim wouldn't mind either. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Go in peace. Share Jesus' gospel, good news in everything that we do. We will, with thanks to God. Amen. Have a fabulous week.